Lord Yahweh, my shepherd, I lack not. In pastures of grass, he has me lie down. To beside waters of rest, he guides me. My soul he restores. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name. Indeed, when I walk through the death shadow valley, I fear not evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. We are now in the second half. The psalmist has transitioned from talking about the shepherd to communicating directly with him. I pointed this out last week. He has moved from saying, he has me lie down, he guides me, he restores me, he leads me, to you are with me. And as we see this transition, the Spirit of God is revealing to us that when we acknowledge our dependence as sheep, trusting the shepherd, we can move into the very personal communion with our loving Lord, communion to which he welcomes us, and communion which satisfies a deep longing in our souls, a longing that God himself planted in each of us. Indeed, God created us to seek after him, having placed within our souls a deep sense of and longing for the truth and reality beyond this material existence with its limitations and its insufficiencies. And by the direct intervention of his Spirit, we experience that for which we seek and to which he calls us. So let's pray. Lord God, our Creator and Heavenly Father, we bow before you today in grateful acknowledgement of your marvelous gift of life and your magnificent gift of illumination. We ask that you stir the yearning with the light of your Spirit that you have placed within us. Protect us, we pray, from all thoughts, sentiments, and impulses that might distract us from full engagement with your revelation of truth and its consequent comfort and confrontation. Show us the way, Lord, and empower us to obey. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What do these words say? Well, the rod was a cudgel, a heavy club. It was a short, thick, wooden bludgeon that they would have cut out for themselves, perhaps off a fig tree like this one is. And it was used in a couple of different ways according to Scripture. One is the rod was used as a weapon for beating. Exodus chapter 21, verse 20 is an example of this. This is a part of the law, and so listen to what it's saying, and you have a picture of what it's talking about. Exodus 21, verse 20. If someone strikes their male or female servant with a rod, and that one that they strike dies at his hand, he shall be punished. It was used as a weapon. You can also see that referred to in Micah chapter 7, verse 14. But there is another way that the rod was used in the Old Testament, we find that it was a symbol of the shepherd's ownership. Leviticus chapter 27 is explaining how it is that they were responsible for the tithe. They were responsible for giving back to the Lord a tenth of what he had given to them. And Leviticus 27:32 says, "For every tithe of herd or flock, of whatever passes under the rod," same word, "the tenth one shall be holy to Yahweh." And so they would hold the rod out and the herd would pass by and they would mark every tenth one, gently stroking perhaps with some kind of dye that they would put on the wool to mark it to show that it belonged to the Lord. And again, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, God is speaking to his people. And he says, "I will make you pass under the rod." Are you listening? Are you paying attention? So the shepherd would use the rod as the symbol of his ownership, and though his sheep would pass under his rod. Well, now God is speaking to his people. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, he says, "I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Yeah. If you belong to the Lord, if you're a part of the flock of the shepherd, Lord Jesus, then you have passed under the rod of the Lord Jesus, and you're included in his flock. And our shepherd's ownership is sure and unbreakably indissoluble. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, Lord Jesus is speaking. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Doesn't say they might follow me. Doesn't say they'll think about following me. It doesn't say that maybe most of the time they will follow me. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." So that's the rod. It was used as a weapon. It was also used as a symbol of ownership. And so when it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," it's talking about this heavy club that the shepherd would carry. Then it refers to the staff. Staff was just a long pole that they would use as a walking stick. The steep hills, we've talked about the terrain around where David was traveling with his sheep. And so the shepherd would have this walking stick. Exodus chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. "Now, if people quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or with a fist, and he does not die but is confined to bed, if he gets up and walks around outside on his staff, if he's able to get up and use his walking stick, then he who struck him shall go unpunished. He shall only pay for his loss of time and shall pay for his care until he's completely healed." You thought all that we created in our own law. No, the Lord told us how to do this. And so there it is, he's just talking about a walking stick. It was very common that many, many people would carry a staff. But you know that for shepherds, there's a particular feature. A shepherd's staff would have a crook usually on the end of it. Now this obviously is not one. This would be like a Menahuni's shepherd's staff. Some of you don't know what a Menahuni is. Menahuni is a Hawaiian Yoda. And so that's about the size for, but that would be at the end of the shepherd's walking stick. And it was used to bring sheep back in line when they would fall or when they would stray. The oldest archaeological evidence that we have of shepherd's staffs with crooks in the ends are from Egypt, where there were symbols of position and responsibilities of pharaohs. And these very old depictions were already there when Joseph's family moved there from Canaan almost 1,000 years before David composed Psalm 23. So by the time David is writing Psalm 23, this is a very well-established, very old heritage and history of having the walking stick that a shepherd carried, the shepherd's staff, having the crook in it that was used to bring sheep back in line. So that's the staff. Thy rod and thy staff, it says, they comfort me. Now, I don't know about you, when I come across something in the Bible that causes me to ask a question, I'm going, so I actually showed this to Belkis yesterday and talked to her about it being the rod that comforts us. And she reacted to it the way you do. That doesn't look like an implement of comfort, does it? It's because we don't quite understand what comfort is. You see, we confuse comfort with sympathy. Sympathy is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But the word that's here doesn't mean sympathy, although many times in Scripture it is used to mean console. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21 is describing how Joseph has come to power in Egypt. His brothers who sold him into slavery have come back to Egypt looking for help because there's great famine where they are. And remember that God has brought Joseph there to this position to care not only for Egypt, but apparently for many people across the region, as he has stored up enough grain to get them through those thin years, those years of want. And so Joseph's brothers are back and they come to Joseph. They don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. And there's several different trips back and forth. But finally, it says that Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and they are afraid, as you might imagine. But verse 21 says this, Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. Joseph says, therefore, fear not, I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Same word. That's the word. He consoled them. And of course, that's the ministry that God has with us. Psalm 119, verse 76. May your merciful covenant faithfulness comfort me, God, according to your word, to your servant. And then Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. God is speaking. He says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem, the promise of God to his people. You find that also in Isaiah 61, 2. And so many times in Scripture, this word that says, they comfort me, is used for consoling us. But it's used another way as well. Same word. It means to turn or to reverse course. For example, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6. God is speaking to his people. He says, I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right. No one repented of his wickedness. This word. No one turned from his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone returned to his own course, and they went at it with enthusiasm, it says, like a horse charging into the battle. And so the word also is used many times in Scripture to refer to someone turning. And that's the crook in the shepherd's staff. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But understand, when it says comfort, it does refer to console, but it also means comfort. That word comfort is an interesting word. It comes from two Latin words, a preposition and an adjective. Com fortis. Com means with in Latin. And fortis is the adjective strong. So that's what it says. Thy rod and thy staff, they come to me to make me strong. This is what I'm suggesting to you that this verse says. Your cudgel club and your pole staff, they strengthen me. That's what it says. So what does that mean? What does that reveal to us? It reveals that my shepherd's club strengthens me because with it he protects me from threats around me. My shepherd's club strengthens me. I take comfort in the strength that I get because with his rod, with his club, with his sturdy club, he protects me from threats around me. You know, shepherds protect their sheep. I've talked to you about this before. I know nothing about shepherding, but depending on Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and in his book, he describes the shepherd's rod this way. He talks about his own personal experience watching herders in Africa who would use their club. And he talks about how they go and find and make, prepare, create their own. They form and fabricate their own club from limbs. Quote, after he completes the rod, the shepherd boy spends hours practicing with his club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It becomes his main weapon of defense for both himself and his sheep. I used to watch the native lads having competitions to see who could throw his rod with the greatest accuracy across the greatest distance. The effectiveness of these crude clubs in the hands of the skilled shepherds was a thrill to watch. The rod was, in fact, an extension of the owner's own right arm. It stood as a symbol of his strength, his power, his authority in any situation. That's the rod. The shepherds protect their sheep. And in fact, David gave testimony that he did exactly this. He's there in front of Saul. Remember, David's older brothers have been sent to stand with the army of Israel in a high place across a valley from the army of the Philistines. You ought to look at that description sometime. They got up every morning and shouted war cries and then ran and hid every day. Did it over and over, day after day after day. David is sent by his father to go check on his older brothers. He shows up and he hears this man in the valley calling out insults, not only to God's people, but directly to God himself. And David says, why are we letting this man do this? And nobody has an answer for him. But he says, well, I'm going to go take care of it. And they said, you're just a little kid. And to them he was. But he ends up in front of Saul, and he tells Saul he's going to do this. And Saul says, I don't think that's a job for you. And this is what David says. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 and 35. David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock. I went out after it and struck it. Now, do you think that he had a Hulk fist that somehow he was going to be able to strike this beast in the head? and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its mane and struck it and killed it. How would he have been able to do that? He had a rod. Shepherds carried a rod. And he's giving testimony that he protected his sheep. My shepherd's club strengthens me because with it he protects me from threats around me. Shepherds do that, and our shepherd protects us. Your shepherd knows about your situation. And your shepherd cares for you. Matthew chapter 29, verse 36. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 6. Lord Jesus is traveling and he's doing ministry. And it says, seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Literally, it says that his insides were turning, he cared so much, because they were wearied and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Why would sheep be wearied and scattered without a shepherd? Because they're constantly running away. And they don't run together. They run in all directions, running from all that they would be afraid of. And he sees them. And he cares. Our shepherd cares for us. And our shepherd fights for us. And brothers and sisters, friends, we need protection. We need protection. His protection is never more needed than when we are walking through a death shadow valley that we talked about last week. For in the death shadow valley, we encounter evil that threatens. It's there. We will encounter it. He is there with us. He protects us. Psalm chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Yahweh my God, in you I have trusted as refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me and rescue me, or he will tear my soul like a lion, tearing me apart while there is no one to deliver me. We need protection. Who is this one who pursues us, who would tear our souls apart? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be alert, be vigilant, imperative, be alert, imperative, be vigilant, imperative. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, prowls around seeking whom he could devour. And we're reminded in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. That is not a lion whose mane you want to grab and take on your own. We need protection. And our Lord Shepherd does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. Moses is speaking to the people at the Red Sea, and he says, Yahweh will fight for you. Deuteronomy chapter 3, Deuteronomy chapter 20, it is the promise of God for his people. And 1 Samuel 17, back again, David is there. Now David has moved away from Saul. He's moved out onto the valley plain. He's standing before Goliath. And David says to Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, know that Yahweh does not save by sword or by spear, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will hand you over to us. Recorded also in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And in Isaiah chapter 54, this is God's promise to his people, protection. No weapon that is formed against you will succeed. Amen. No weapon that is formed against you will succeed. Our Lord Shepherd protects us. Romans 8, verse 31. With God for us, who can stand against us? And Lord Jesus himself explains this in John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock. He flees because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Our Lord Shepherd does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He protects us. He, with his club, he strengthens me, because with it he protects me from threats around me. But there's more. There's more. My shepherd's staff strengthens me, because with it he protects me from threats within me. You see, we not only need protection from those threats outside, we also need protection from ourselves. And shepherds correct their sheep. Here's a part of how Keller describes in his book, The Shepherd's Staff. Quote, there are three areas of sheep management in which the staff plays a most significant role. The first of these lies in drawing sheep together. The shepherd will use his staff to gently lift a newborn lamb and bring it to its mother if they become separated. The staff is also used by the shepherd to reach out and catch individual sheep, young or old, and draw them close to himself for examination. The staff is also used for guiding sheep. Again and again, I've seen a shepherd use his staff to guide his sheep gently into a new path or through some gate or along dangerous, difficult routes. He does not use it actually to beat the beast. Rather, the tip of the long, slender stick is laid gently against the animal's side, and the pressure applied guides the sheep in the way the owner wants it to go. Thus, the sheep is reassured of its proper path. He also wrote about his personal experience as a shepherd. I've seen my own sheep, greedy for one more mouthful of green grass, climb down steep cliffs where they slipped and fell. Only my long shepherd staff could lift them out. One winter day, I spent several hours rescuing a ewe that had done this very thing several times before. Her stubbornness was her undoing. Aren't we glad that we're not like that sheep? Another common occurrence was to find sheep stuck fast in labyrinths of wild roses or brambles when they had pushed in to find a few stray mouthfuls of green grass. Soon the thorns were so hooked in their wool that they could not possibly pull free. Only the use of a staff could free them from their entanglement. Shepherds correct their sheep. Our shepherd corrects us. My protector even protecting me from myself. For the staff is a staff of discipline, and we need correction. We don't need anything around us to cause us a challenge. There's enough going on within us. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Each one is tempted by their own lust, their own impulses, their own appetites, being lured out and tempted when carried away and baited, enticed, beguiled. Then lust conceived produces its fruit, sin, and sin having been completed, births death. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it is our fleshly lust, our fleshly appetites, our fleshly impulses that war against our souls. And so our Lord Shepherd disciplines us. It's discussed extensively in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. My child, do not take lightly, it's an imperative, Do not take lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reprimanded by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. If you endure discipline, God deals with you as with children. For what child is there whom the father does not discipline? We had fathers of our flesh to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In these verses in Hebrews, he's quoting from Proverbs chapter 3. Look also in Revelation chapter 3. Our Lord Shepherd disciplines us, and remember that the purpose of discipline is direction, not retaliation. Retaliation is not discipline. The purpose of discipline is direction, and he has specific tools of correction, of discipline that he uses. Sometimes it's circumstances. Have you paid attention recently to the description across the life of Joseph? I got to tell you, we first meet him in Genesis 37. He's a spiteful, arrogant jerk. He is. But over the course of many years, many different kinds of experiences, God used circumstances to shape him so that by the time we find him in these final verses that I've shared with you, when he's reunited with his brothers and ultimately his family, he is a forgiving, humble servant. He trusted the shepherd who shaped him through circumstances. Sometimes Lord Shepherd uses fellow followers of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, indeed, if one is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. People want to know whether you can be a follower of Lord Jesus and not be in church. Well, if you're asking that question, then you have another problem already. There are many reasons why the Lord uses the fellowship of believers, but one of them is that sometimes we are tools of his correction with one another. Lord Jesus uses the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. He says that when he sends the Spirit will convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And of course, he uses Scripture, the tool of correction. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful to God, useful by God in our lives for teaching, for reprimand, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And so that's what these words reveal to us. Lord Yahweh, my shepherd, you are my protector, for your sturdy club and your correcting staff, they strengthen me. They strengthen me because they protect me from all that's going on around me, protecting me from all that would happen that I have no control over. And they even protect me from what I do not control that is going on within me. And I gain strength. That is the comfort that I gain from his rod and his staff. So then what do these words require? They require that we stay with him. They require that we trust the shepherd. They require that we stay with him. Joshua chapter 23, Joshua's coming to the end of his time and he's speaking to the people and reviewing with them all that God has done to bring them to this place. And he says to them, he says, cling to Yahweh. Cling to him it says. Stay with him. Psalm 27:14, wait on Yahweh, be strong, and he will fortify your heart. Yes, wait on Yahweh. And then, of course, Lord Jesus, John 15:4-5, stay in me, stay connected to me, remain in me. The more familiar, abide in me, stay in me, and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, must stay in the vine, so neither can you unless in me you stay. I myself am the vine, you are the branches. The one who stays in me and I in them bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If we are to receive an experience, not merely as words on the page, but our experience of the presence of our Lord Shepherd, we must stay with the shepherd, and we must submit to the shepherd. It literally says in James 4:7, submit to God. Psalm 95:7, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, his strong hand, his protecting hand, his correcting hand. Psalm 95:7. And then again, back to Lord Jesus in John 10:27-28. Again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They submit. They are my sheep. And I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Would you look at the person beside you and say, you need to trust the shepherd? I'm just a bit hard of hearing, and I'm not sure I heard the enthusiasm there. You need to trust the shepherd. One more time. You need to trust the shepherd. I agree. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord Shepherd, we are so grateful today for the strengthening comfort of your rod that protects us, and your staff that corrects us. We are so grateful for your faithfulness as our protector to protect us from all around us that might would threaten us. So that in your strengthening comfort, we fear not. Not because there's no evil around us, but because in the midst of it, you are with us and your rod protects us. And we are grateful that your staff protects us. We are grateful for the strengthening comfort of your staff that protects us from ourselves, from our own fleshly appetites and impulses that would draw us away and cause us to stray, to fall into places and things that from which we cannot escape except by the reach of your staff. We're grateful for the ways that you use our circumstances, the ways that you use one another, the ways that you use the Holy Spirit that you have placed within us, the ways that you use Scripture to teach us and reprimand us and correct us and train us into all things that honor you. We are grateful today, Lord, that you are our protecting shepherd. We pray that you would cause us to be very, very uncomfortable when we're not with you, so that we would want to stay with you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to build into our hearts that very difficult challenge of surrendering, of yielding, of submitting to you, our shepherd. We ask it in the name of the Good Shepherd himself, Lord Jesus. Amen.